Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot of going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
Filling up start the week, 280. Price to beat for a gallon of gas. More on your money at WTAM.com. Keyword money. Money update this time brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. Scott Scooter East, producer extraordinaire alongside. Coming up, trending Olympia Dukakis passes, right?
Yes, the actress. Age of 89 actress. Know her from Moonstruck and Steel Magnolias.
We'll get to that coming up. Now, you want to explain, Butler is owed money from you
yes,
for the Derby?
Because he's horse. He bet $3 across the board.
Yeah.
And for Hot Rod Charlie.
Okay.
Hot Rod Charlie came in
third. I think Hot Rod was like a throw-in, wasn't it, Butler? I mean, you kind of like were just throwing that around Friday.
No, that was my first choice.
Oh, okay.
That was
right,
my first
okay.
one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
I lost money on the other one.
Okay.
He ended up with, he put $3 down, but he paid $5, but then he ended up with $3 worth of money, which came to almost $8.
Which you've got
so I
money.
Gave him $8.
You've got his money.
I gave it to him. I gave it to him already.
Everybody's even.
Then. Everybody's all taken care of.
Well, you guys got your money from the Derby, yeah. All right, traffic and weather together on the 10s. Here's Pat.
But now I can't wait to gamble the next time.
Yeah.
Preakness.
He's got me hooked from the Elkin
Health
Track.
What happens.
Yes.
Pat will go play the lottery today.
That's
come
what
on.
Happens. Yeah. All right, weather. A lot of rain here next few days, looks like. Cleveland 3 News meteorologist Holly Strano says today rain showers likely. Cannot rule out a thunderstorm. Will be in the upper 60s. Showers continue tonight as well as tomorrow. Rain on the radar. And I've got 57 right now. Just severe weather.
Expanding the Wills and Snyder universe with expanded interviews. Hear the Wills and Snyder Show Graham podcast on our free iHeartRadio app.
The Last Domino. North American Tour 2021. First time Genesis has performed stateside since 2007's Turn It On Again, the tour. And we've got your tickets registered at WTAM.com. We'll be at Rockin' Mortgage Fieldhouse Tuesday, November 30. Ticket info at rockinmortgagefieldhouse.com. Win a pair of tickets. Get registered at WTAM.com to see Genesis. Cleveland on the tour. How about that? Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. This is Bill Wills, Scott Scooter, race producer extraordinaire alongside. Yeah, just making some notes. This past weekend, NFL draft, Cleveland looked fabulous. Boy, Friday, Saturday.
Outstanding.
Weather was great. Picks, everybody seems happy with what the Browns did, right? I saw people posting on Facebook, graduation, OU over the weekend. A couple friends of ours, Darren Toms, son graduated at OU. I saw some prom pictures posted over the weekend. Kentucky Derby. It was almost like a normal first weekend in May. And we're talking about concerts, too. You know, we're slowly coming out of this
back
thing.
To normal soon?
Almost.
Yeah. What do you think of where we were a year ago, huh?
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? When you're making up scores.
Yeah, that's right.
and the Indians won the series in Chicago.
Right.
Yet again, we got another victory Monday.
Yeah,
right?
How about that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Good stuff. That's just good stuff. Hope you had a good weekend. All right, trending this morning, Scooter at Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Great actress, Olympia Dukakis. Thanks.
Yeah, Hollywood is mourning the loss of beloved actress Olympia Dukakis.
Bye in a good way.
Yeah.
I want you to stop seeing her.
Steel Magnolias, look who's talking. Mr. Holland's Opus, that's a good movie, too.
Yes, and her Oscar-winning role, as you're listening to, Moonstruck. And back then, when she received the Oscar, a little side note, she cheered on her brother because he was running for the presidency, Michael Dukakis.
Yeah. He was doing well till he got in that tank.
That was it.
And that was not a good look.
No.
But that kind of made everybody look at
it. Sticks forever. When you say his name, you just can't.
When you remember that picture in the tank.
As Rush, the late Rush Limbaugh says, he called him Beetle Bailey, is what he called him.
Didn't have a... Yeah, they had to run somebody.
Right.
But he was doing well. They got in the tank.
Yes.
All right, that and more at Wilson Center, Facebook, WilsonCenter.com, right?
You got it, Bill.
Thank you,
Scoot. You're
right,
welcome.
Our current president really doing well in the polls. Coming up in 5, we'll talk about it with our Rory O'Neill as President Biden passes 100 days. We'll be hitting the trail to try and promote his next round of spending, too. We'll get to that coming up. 5:15, let's get to Sports Union, Home Mortgage Sports Desk. You didn't get any money Saturday, right?
No, I got shut out.
Stuart's handing out money to everybody but you and me.
He's just rolling, yeah.
He's rolling around here handing out cash to
everybody. You gave us the tip, the Ruby Stakes.
I gave you the tip. I just couldn't pick out the right horse.
Yeah.
All right, Sports Union, Home Mortgage Sports Desk, Mike Snyder.
I'll tell you, Bill, you mentioned Victory Monday. Indians are 5-0 on Sundays this year, just like the score yesterday in Chicago. The big blow that really separated...
The pitch, Ramirez yanks one high, deep to right. This, if it stays fair, is gone, and it is a home run! Jose Ramirez! The only question was, would it hook? But it didn't. And Jose Ramirez has hit his second homer in the series, his team high eighth. And the Indians lead it on the two-run homer, 4-0.
They go on to win it 5-0, taking the series from Chicago. And Jose Tito says,
"I mean, he's one of the best players in the game. He's smart. He's got the talent. He's a great player. And I'm glad people are finally coming to realize that outside of Cleveland, because he is one of the best players in the game."
On the mound, Zach Plesac, 5 2/3 innings. And then the bullpen committee of Shaw, Karinchak, and Clase, they come on and close the door. Boy, they've been terrific. And the Indians now move on to Kansas City, 1-4 with the division-leading Royals, as that will be an 8:10 first pitch tonight. You can hear it right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Roberto Perez might be back behind the plate. They held him out the last 2 days. He's had a non-displaced fracture in his ring finger, and they wanted to give him a few days off, and hopefully he'll be back tonight. Well, every team in the NFL will say today it's feeling good about their draft, and it really looks like the Browns did what they set out, as they really addressed defense with Greg Newsom in the first round, the cornerback from Northwestern, and the second round, really the pick that really had them jump up, a guy that no one thought would be there in the second round, yet alone when they moved up to spot 52 to take him, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the speedy linebacker from Notre Dame. They also took another linebacker that could move in Tony Fields from West Virginia. Kevin Stefanski on having versatile linebackers.
You want to be able to impact the game in multiple ways, and I think at linebacker, certainly the guys we're able to add this weekend, guys that can run, guys that can play the run, guys that can play and pass coverage and zone. So I think that's a big key to our success as a defense, is having a bunch of guys that can do a bunch of different things.
One of the draft experts termed Owusu-Koramoah kind of like a chess piece that you can move around, and I think that's what the Browns plan on doing, and this defense is going to have a totally new look to it beyond Denzel Ward and, of course, Myles Garrett when they take the field this year. We'll get the schedule May 12th. Cavs at 21-43. This thing is winding down for them, but still 8 games to go. They've dropped 6 in a row in a very good field. Phoenix team, in fact, tops in the West right now. The Suns will be in town tomorrow. And coming up at 5:45, we'll hear from Zach Plesac, who finally got a win over the White Sox. That story and more coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
Biden hitting the road to try and promote another $4 trillion in spending. Here's his chief of staff, Ron Klain, over the weekend. The
president had a great conversation with Senator Capito last week. We've invited her and a group of Republican senators to the White House in the next few days, hopefully. We're going to work with Republicans. We're going to find common ground.
I actually believe there's a deal to be had if we leave out things like the Green New Deal and recyclable cafeteria trays and climate justice, because $500 to $600 billion of infrastructure is a massive amount of infrastructure. We ought to start with the core.
Bring in Rory O'Neill. President Biden out promoting this, and you know what? ABC News Ipsos poll, 64% of us feel optimistic about the country and pretty positive about his administration over the first 100 days. So, yeah, he's got a little capital to sell maybe on this.
Yeah, the honeymoon has been good, and the president will be out selling this plan in Virginia, and as you heard in that soundbite, he'll be selling that plan close to home, very close to home, inside the White House. He's got some senators coming in the next few days. Plus, on the 12th of May, he's going to have leaders from both the House and the Senate in the Oval Office. Add to this, you know, the Biden administration wants to get some pretty good signals from Republicans about their deal-making, perhaps some sort of a compromise plan by the middle of the month. And actually, like this whole thing voted on before the 4th of July, so this thing is on a fast track. That thing, by the way, is about $2.3 trillion in spending just for infrastructure, about a quarter of that going for traditional infrastructure, roads, bridges, even broadband internet access. Then, of course, there's that other $1.7 trillion plan for family infrastructure that includes things like community college and free pre-K. That one's going to be a little bit further down the line. So infrastructure first, family infrastructure second, and a lot of bargaining between here and there.
It sounds like from Republicans, they're in for that half a trillion. That traditional stuff, the roads, bridges, stuff we can see, they might get on board. The rest of this stuff, they don't want to do right now.
Yeah, and the paying for it is a bit of an issue, too. And they're trying to see, is there middle ground between $2.25 trillion and $600 billion? Where does that number fall, and how much are they willing to look at those corporate taxes, and how high would they raise the rate in order to pay for some of these projects?
All right, Rory O'Neill on it this morning. Rory, thanks much. Coming up, money tip on buy now.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Money tip from Melanie Ross at NCA Financial Planners this morning. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Bill.
For most Americans, it's a great time of the year, springtime and the home buying season, as a lot of people think about buying a home. But if you're not sure about buying a home, your first home, Melanie Ross, certified financial planner, NCA Financial Planners, has four benefits for all of us to keep in mind when it comes to owning a home. So let's start with the T word first, the tax benefits of owning a home.
Right, Bill. Tax breaks is one of the top benefits for homeowners, and it comes in the form of deductions, like the mortgage interest deduction and property taxes. When you have enough and qualifying tax deductions, being a homeowner can potentially lower your tax bracket and the amount of taxes you owe.
Okay, another tip on buying a home, it normally is something that appreciates, and when you look at what you're investing or putting your money into, it makes sense.
Right, that's another benefit to owning a home, is that the value of it is likely to increase over time. Historically, real estate appreciates at a rate of about 3 to 5% every year. So if you stay in your home long enough, there is a really good chance you'll be able to sell it for a profit because of appreciation later in the future.
Does it help my credit score to own a home?
Absolutely. Owning a home is a great way to build credit. If you make your mortgage payments on time every time, your payment history will improve your credit score. Not to mention, as you pay off your home, you build equity, which is the difference between what you owe on the home and how much it's worth. The less you owe, the higher your net worth. And the higher your net worth, the greater the access to additional credit.
Thinking of buying a home, these are four good reasons to own a home. Melanie Ross, certified financial planner, NCA financial planner. So the tax benefit, the appreciation of the value of the home, you're building credit. You also tell me, though, it stabilizes your expenses?
Yeah. You know, one of the most common reasons people buy homes is for the immediate benefit of stable monthly payments. When you own a home, you have the option of going with a fixed rate mortgage, which gives you that steady monthly payment. This benefit helps to save money and more easily budget for other expenses.
And let me give you the broad question. 30-15, does it really depend on the situation for somebody on the mortgage?
Absolutely, it does. You have to look at everything, your finances, everything. It depends on which one works best for you to go with.
Melanie Ross, certified financial planner, NCA Financial Planners, with the four tips. Good stuff. Happy home hunting if you're shopping for a house. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Bill.
So this morning, the average 30-year mortgage is right around 3%. President Biden going to be at the G7 in June. Our Secretary of State, Blinken's over in the U.K., kind of laying some groundwork for that. Plus, talking about this constant chess match. China, Russia, and, of course, us. Let's bring in our Michael Bauer on it this morning. And speaking of that chessboard, let's put Ukraine up there right now, right?
Yeah, and that seems to be one of the bigger moves that we're looking at. But you're right. In fact, you're going to have a meeting of some of the G7 countries with the Secretary of State coming up here the early part of this week. And then midweek, he's expected to head over to Ukraine in the show of unwavering support after Russian troops had been amassed on its border. The State Department said on Friday, we're looking at over 100,000 troops near Ukraine's northern and eastern borders, as well as Crimea, which we know Moscow seized back in 2014. And that was raising concerns that kind of troop number, that kind of equipment was a major escalation on behalf of Russia. Now, Russia has since made a decision to, as they put it, and I'm using air quotes here, withdraw those troops, which is true. They have been withdrawing those troops, but all of the equipment is still there, and they're saying that they're planning on a return in the fall. A big portion of this was Russia announcing about mid-April or so that they're going to have foreign ships in part of the Black Sea blocked in order to do military exercises. And again, that's exercises in air quotes throughout October, from then until October. That escalation was seen by the State Department as an example of Moscow's ongoing campaign to undermine and destabilize Ukraine. Meanwhile, Ukraine had gotten some leaked information that said that was Russia's attempt to establish de facto control over international waters. Again, not something that is considered to be good here. And with all of this, the number of troops, the equipment that they're keeping there, how this leaked information was coming out here, it's showing that there were more sinister intentions than any kind of just a simple show of force from Russia. So by having the Biden administration, having the U.S. Secretary of State make a visit to Ukraine and show their unwavering support, that's kind of a highlight that we are standing with Ukraine here, and that we've never really officially recognized the annexation of Crimea as something illegal or even putting down Russia for doing that. That might be changing here with Biden in charge.
Their economy needs some help, too. They want some help from the International Monetary Fund. They got about a $5 billion bailout as well. All right. Michael Bauer on it this morning. Michael, thanks much.
You guys stay safe.
Nine students tied for valedictorian at a Houston high school. Check out the story. Wills and Snyder Facebook. WillsandSnyder.com. Follow us on Twitter if you're there, at Bill Wills, WTAM. See something we're going to be talking about. You can always connect with us. Text 21095, okay? Or see something we ought to be talking about. I got to take on something here. Text 21095. Traffic and weather together on the 10s. Pat Butler, I'm sure you were a valedictorian at all levels of graduation.
Well,
even back to kindergarten, you probably led the,
well,
led
by,
the class.
By someone's standards.
In color, you'd stay right there in the lines. Yes. You were that kid. Yes.
My mom always told me I was smart.
Well, most moms do tell us that, you know. Yes. God love mothers. Then the truth happens when you get out of the house.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And now, 5 good minutes.
This is Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Let's talk about your money. Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planner, joins me. It can't just be me. I mean, you're watching these financial shows or reading stories, it can really be confusing on figures and numbers and stories and different takeaways. And what are we supposed to do with all this information as we manage our money? Well, Kevin has also noticed this, too, just in the last, you know, couple of days, 24 hours, literally, jotting down a few things you have seen and heard. And it I mean, you manage money. You know about this stuff. It still can be confusing, right?
Yeah, and I'm still learning about it every day, Bill. But, I mean, you read one article that says markets are going to surge up another 8%. Another article that the markets are going to significantly overvalued and are going to pull back. Digital currencies have only just begun their run. Other articles, digital currencies are in a major bubble. Inflation is far worse than anyone realizes. Or inflation's overreacting. You know, how is one person to know what to think or do or react to this?
Well, let me ask you and sort through this a little bit for us. So, I mean, basically, when it comes to markets, first of all, how can the so-called experts look at the same trading, the same stuff, the same data, and then have different takeaways?
Right. So you got to look at what the purpose of the market prognosticator is. What are they trying to achieve? We're at a place where they could really make a name for themselves. We're at a market high. We're at the end of a global pandemic, and we have a very splintered political system. And so people are listening to the far right and the far left, and I'm not talking politics. I'm talking in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you make a name for yourself, where you could be on the television all the time and radio all the time and maybe sell a newsletter, is you make a crazy guess. On July 4th, the markets are going to drop 30%. And they make crazy predictions like that. And they're out in droves right now. Both the people that I call Pollyanna, that everything's going to be great, it's going to go up forever, and the doomsayers. And this is their time to try to make a name for themselves.
Now, if they're guessing right, and I'm following, it's a big win. But if they guess wrong, there's a downside, then there's also a big loss, right?
Only to us. That's the thing with the market prognosticators now. They could guess whatever date they want, and if they're wrong, people that followed them obviously lost money, but they just pick another date. Nobody remembers. I had a client send me an article that said, you got to look at this guy. He's predicted every market downturn since 1940.
Right.
He was right. He did. But he also predicted a downturn every year since 1940. He never picked an upturn. And so his claim to fame was right. But if you followed him, you would have lost a lot of money over time.
Years ago, and I got to find this guy again. Years ago, I interviewed a guy, wrote a book, Dow at 36,000. And we were like at 9 then. And everybody thought, you know, 36,000. When a lot of things have changed in the last 5 years. But, you know, we're pushing 34. I'm like, that guy, you know, eventually he will be right, you know, when it comes to the markets. Okay, so with all this in mind, Kevin Myroff, who should I really be listening to?
Right. So, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a financial advisor, you're thinking of finding one, listen to somebody that has your best interest at heart. So somebody that, you know, whose job is as a fiduciary that is just looking after you and your family. They're going to give you much more level advice. And try to ignore, you know, the people that are screaming at the top of their lungs one way or another, creating either fear or greed.
Yeah. And avoiding what, you think, right now with all this noise?
Yeah, avoiding exactly that. If you hear anybody that makes you like, oh, my God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make $1 million, then run away from it at 1,000,000 miles an hour. Or if somebody has you so scared, you're going to go, as soon as I get in the office, I'm going to call my advisor and tell him to put everything in cash. Neither of those. It's usually something in the middle that tends to happen. So have a plan and follow it.
Yeah. Remember what happened when Blue Horseshoe liked Endicott's deal. I mean, you just got to kind of watch and do what you do when it comes to your money. Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners with the tips. Good team out there helping us all the time to go through money and money advice. Kevin, thanks much.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
Science contributor for us and research astronomer Cleveland State, our buddy Jay Reynolds, checks in on a couple of stories this morning. First of all, nighttime, early morning Sunday splashdown, the four astronauts into the Gulf, the first NASA commercial crew back safely from the space station, right?
Absolutely. It's so exciting because it's the first. It's the first of many to come. And what a way to get back to Florida, right?
Exactly.
Landing in the off the coastline about 3 o'clock in the morning. So very excited.
Held it up a few days because of the weather, but back safely. So that's great. All right, up on Mars, this little helicopter is just amazing. What's it been doing lately?
Yeah, well, we're going to need a traffic report up there because if you think about it, we're flying a helicopter on another planet and photographing it from a rover. There's a lot going on over here at Jezero Crater. On Mars here. The spacecraft, or I should say the helicopter, has been doing very well, and it has attained all of its scientific goals at this point. Remember, it's a demonstration to see if we can really do what we had intended it to do. Prove your science, but also learn what you don't know. And so now they're going to start shifting gears and start using this for actual work, a demonstration of how it can do actual science. And that's going to be coming up here. There's another flight that has to be done between now and then. But then they're planning on using this for real science and actually helping the Perseverance rover itself. And this, we're going to be getting news back from it up until about August or so. That's the plan at this point. So all is doing well. The rover's doing very well. And something else that you don't hear anywhere else, I guess we'll make it a first here. We just made history taking carbon dioxide from Mars and converting it to oxygen. There's a little instrument on board. Again, another technology demonstration project. It's called MOXIE. And you think about it, if you're ever going to send astronauts over to Mars and live there or stay there for any period of time, you're going to have to produce your own oxygen. And we just did that back in April. So another first, another great demonstration proving one step at a time we are able to do what we need to get done to continue here.
Have manned space flight into Mars maybe eventually, like they've been doing in the movies for a while, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
The sky, we got rain the next few nights, but when it's clear, Mercury and Venus look out for?
Yeah, and it's they're only getting higher and higher, so don't let the rain interfere at all. You're going to see Mercury very high in the sky, just above the sunset, and followed by Venus will be a little bit lower. Venus will definitely be brighter than Mercury, but until about the next 10 days or so, we should see those two in the western sky immediately after sunset. So sunset watchers, you got a target for you.
Looking forward to some beautiful spring and summer evenings as we have in Northeast Ohio to watch the sky. And Jay, let us know what to look for. Jay Reynolds, our research astronomer, Cleveland State. Jay, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Sounds great. Always a pleasure.
Take care, pal. Yeah, this MOXIE was absolutely amazing. I mean, able to make breathable oxygen on Mars. Wow. 656 News Radio, WTAM 1100. Of course, a lot of the work on the Ingenuity, the rover that landed up on Mars right here at NASA. News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Have I been a good wife?
Yeah.
I want you to stop seeing her.
Okay.
And go to confession.
A man understands one day that his life is built on nothing. And that's a bad, crazy day.
Your life is not built on nothing. Te amo.
Anch'io ti amo.
Olympia Dukakis passed over the weekend. And Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com, Scott Scudarese, producer extraordinaire, alongside a scene from the movie
Moonstruck. She got the Academy Award. And a little side note, she was cheering on her brother when she got the award.
Michael
Kazazi was running for the presidency.
Former governor of Massachusetts ran against Bush 41.
Bush 41, yes, sir.
All right, so that's up there for you. Nine students tied for a valedictorian at a Houston area high school.
And they had a 5.0.
Unbelievable.
GPA.
Unbelievable. That story up there as well. And the highlights of an Indians win in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
As they won the series.
So. Strong. It was strong to get 2 out of 3 from them, guys. That's good.
All that for you. Wilson Center Facebook, WilsonCenter.com. Thanks much. Thanks, Scoop.
You're welcome.
723, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Fred Greetham with us following the draft. And, guys, Fred, good morning. I tell you what, first, just us, Cleveland, the city, fantastic look. We had, you know, Thursday night was kind of crappy weather, but Friday, Saturday, Fred, the town just looked fabulous. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a big shot in the arm, you know, no pun intended, you know, to get, you know, everything, you know, focused on the city of Cleveland and Andrew Berry and the Browns to just come out swinging. And I just think they just capped a great weekend all the way around.
Fantastic stuff. Mike, last year, a lot of offense. This year, it was defense,
yeah,
right?
You know, Fred, it just seems they've just got a plan, don't they?
You know, Mike and Bill, I can't find any fault. I mean, in my little world, I laid out a plan, what I thought they should do this offseason. And, I mean, it's almost like he was reading the plan. I mean, to get the guys that they got, attack the defense. I talked about, I don't think this Browns team needs to be the second coming of the 1985 Bears. I mean, I just thought they need to be able to give up a lot less. You know, last year they gave up more points than the offense scored, and the team still won 12 games. They gave up 26 points a game. If they could just get down to the low 20s, they'd be in great shape with this offense. And they went out and got – you're going to see probably nine new starters on this defense, and I would say everyone's an upgrade. The only two coming back that from last year would be Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett, of course, and then there's depth. I mean, there's some really good players. I talked about going and getting a guy that could stop Lamar Jackson. I think they got two of them, you know, and I call him JOK because it's so long. But they also got Tony Fields, who's another guy that can hybrid and do that. So there's not going to be a lot of excuses. This roster is really strong.
Well, one of the things, there's a real theme, Fred, speed, and that's something that they really emphasize. And you look at why JOK or Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah slipped in this draft. I think he's a little undersized for the prototypical linebacker, but it sounds like the Browns are going to move him around in different spots. Your thoughts?
Well, this is what Joe Woods wants. He wants to play three safeties, and it makes sense, you know. John Johnson, who they signed as a safety, was like third in the NFL in covering tight ends. And how many times last year did we see the guys like Mark Andrews of the Ravens and just running all over the field, the tight ends? Now you have guys that can run with them, and JOK can do that. Or he could mirror Lamar Jackson. He could, you know, they're fast enough. They're all, like you said, speed and versatility. I mean, these are 4-3, 4-4 guys that can run with the best wide receivers, tight ends, and backs in the game.
Well, you look at it was just a heck of a draft. I think they followed a plan. We're hearing what they're actually telling us what they're looking at, not necessarily revealing their picks, but I know they were excited to get JOK in that second round. And then you go on the other side, but you get an Anthony Schwartz, and maybe he's not a complete receiver, but the guy's the fastest of all the receivers in this draft, Fred.
Yeah, I think he got the silver medal in the under 20 Olympics in Finland in 2018. He ran a 4.25 in the 40. I mean, yes, I think that's what you're looking at, is somebody that can stretch the field. You know, once OBJ went down, they didn't really have that. And the guy that can take the top off. And having Landry and Beckham and the guys they have, it allows them to develop him a little bit. But I think they'll find a role for him in that, you know, that Tyreek Hill type of role out of the, you know, where you do the shovel passes and end arounds and get him out in space. So there's a reason every move they make, there's a plan, and it's good to see, you know, for once, you know, you see now a laser focus to the defense. They only added two guys on the offensive side of the ball this entire offseason. And so they, like I said, 14 defensive new players. This should be pretty exciting for Joe Woods and the defense.
Great takeaways. Fred Greetham, follow him on Twitter, at Fred Greetham. Great job all weekend. Browns NFL draft. Fred, thanks much.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Fred. Schedule next week?
A week from Wednesday. Yeah, the schedule. That's the next big date there. That should be very fascinating to see how that plays out.
Best Browns coverage, WTAM 1100. And way to go for all of us. Cleveland has looked fantastic. AM 1100. This is Bill Wills. According to Cleveland.com, Cleveland City Council tonight will consider asking the Justice Department to reopen the investigation into the death of Tamir Rice. Councilman Kevin Conwell will introduce legislation that will also offer council support for a letter from four of the congressional members from Ohio asking our Attorney General, Merrick Garland, to re-examine the case. Following an investigation in 2014, the U.S. Department of Justice found the Cleveland Division of Police engaged in practices that violated the U.S. Constitution and federal laws. DOJ determined then there was a pattern of excessive force used by Cleveland police. That was the consent decree. It was supposed to last 5 years. Crime terrorism analyst Brad Garrett says this city is not alone when it comes to going through this in the Department of Justice. Many other cities, as we know and watching the news, have had a review from DOJ, and sounds like Cleveland City Council wants another one.
And, you know, it's a long process. It takes typically years to get through it. But I will tell you, Bill, the departments, by and large, that have gone through what they call consent decrees have shown fairly large reductions in at least complaints about excessive force. The average is about 30% less complaints. So we'll have to see. But I think overall it can really help a police department if they're willing to work with DOJ.
Our president talked about this, trying to push Congress for reform and passing a bill that really was named, it has George Floyd's name on it, for the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act as well.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, the reality, Bill, is that the federal government, when it comes to reducing police violence, reducing violence in neighborhoods, you know, is a city-county issue. And yes, the federal government can pass some things, but it really boils down to how efficiently effective and effective your city and county police departments are, which really has to come within by changing maybe the way they are policing your particular community.
Our crime terrorism analyst, Brad Garrett. Brad, thanks much.
Take care, Bill.
North American Tour 2021, and we are on the list. Genesis at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, Tuesday, November 30. Ticket info at rocketmortgagefieldhouse.com. We got your tickets. Snyder already got us a couple.
There you go.
He knows people at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, besides Tim Alcorn. And to know Tim Alcorn is one thing. But when you have other people besides Tim Alcorn, you know, at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, you really can get connected. And we got tickets for you. Get signed up at WTAM.com. Good luck. You could be there to see Genesis in November. Basketball team that plays at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder, alongside the Tim Alcorn with your morning Cavaliers update. Morning, guys.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, let's see here. Heat 124, Cavs 107. Now, Love puts up 25. This was Saturday.
Right.
What happened Friday?
Who knows? He didn't take a shot. Didn't score a point, obviously, on Friday night. It was a strange weekend, wasn't it, Tim?
It sure was, especially Friday night when, as you said, Kevin didn't even take a shot, and then he comes out Saturday night, has a season-high 25 points, knocking down three balls left and right. It was very bizarre.
Yeah, it really was, and I don't know. It's been that kind of season, and then Friday they lose Darius Garland. Tim, they just have not had any stretch. I mean, it's a matter of really like minutes, total of minutes, I think, that these guys have had really what they would ideally have as a starting five this year. I think it's like under 100 minutes this year that they play.
It's just absurd, Mike, the way these injuries keep coming, and they're piling up, and for about a week or so, we've had six or seven on the inactive list, guys that just can't even suit up. I mean, it's just ridiculous how this is happening, and so, but as JB says, you just have to keep grinding through it and working through it. The schedule is unrelenting, and another back-to-back this week with Phoenix tomorrow and Portland on Wednesday.
Yeah, eight more to go, and I think that, you know, the other night against Miami, listening to the coach afterwards, and he was right, they lose by 17, but there were some good things that they did. They were going to lose. I mean, Miami's a very good team. The Cavs are just not going to be able to stay with them, but the Cavs did do some positive things, led by Love the other night.
Absolutely. You look for the small victories. You look for things that you can build on, especially with these younger guys that are getting an opportunity to play with all the injuries. It's kind of their audition period. Guys like Cabangeli and Broderick Thomas and those type of players, that they're going to get playing time. And so you've got this small stretch here at the end of the season to show JB and the administration what you can do.
Nice tradition over the weekend. The Browns picks were showing up here.
Yeah, that was kind of fun the other night. Each of the Browns players that were selected. Greg Newsom from Thursday was there Friday, and then the second and third round picks. Owusu-Koramoah, I'm actually glad you have to say that one, Tim, a lot. And then, of course, Anthony Schwartz. And it was great the way the Cavs had him there, and the crowd really reacted to them, wasn't it?
It was. It was really cool. And then I thought it was really neat that Newsom had tweeted out he'd love a Colin Sexton jersey, and about 20 minutes later they show up and he's holding it up for the crowd and for pictures. That was really neat. So, hey, we're all in this together.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're thinking that way, because I wanted to ask you, can you give me two for Genesis? I mean, I know we're giving away two, but Alcorn, come on, your old buddy, old pal, Bill.
Well, with Tim, it's just a matter of where do you want to sit, Bill?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, let me get back to you, Tim, because I'll ask the missus on where she wants to sit.
Do you really want to be? You might have to stand if you're
That's
on the floor.
Point. That's a good point.
Yeah. I've got Collins and Rutherford on direct dial. I'll see what I can do about that.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know where, but two would be nice. I'm not asking for four, just two. Okay there, buddy? Old pal?
You're right next to me, Bill.
Yeah. In more ways than one. Be good. Cavs host Phoenix tomorrow night. You'd think Alcorn could give me two.
He will. You'd think so. Absolutely.
I don't want to be real close. I mean, you know, Phil could look at me, but I don't want to be that close.
Yeah, I got you. Tim will take care of you. What side of the stage you want to be on?
I got to ask Mindy.
Yeah.
Stage? Okay.
Right. Check that out.
Thanks for the help.
Yep.
Let's talk some Tribe, 845, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside our morning chat with Tom Hamilton, brought to you by Metro Lexus, who invite you to experience amazing. Good morning, Hammy.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Mike.
Guys, they win the series in Chicago, and let me get the negative out of the way first, although it's going to be a concern. Tom, this starting pitching, you talked about a lot, especially with McKenzie and his troubles. We've almost taken it for granted maybe the last few years, you know?
Yeah, you might, Bill, have a bad start here and there or a short start here and there, but right now you've got three guys you can really count on, and those other two spots in the rotation are not only inconsistent, but you're not getting much length. And that can really add up during the course of a season. So, you know, Logan Allen's already been dispatched to Columbus, and Sam Hentges will get his first major league start tomorrow night in Kansas City. But again, you're talking about another young starting pitcher, and they're going to be growing pains with Sam as well. So, you know, to your point, Bill, that's why you had to really enjoy those 5-6 years where you not only had an ace in Corey Kluber, but you literally had three aces and two other guys that were number two starters.
That is so true. Boy, Tom, that was about as bizarre a two innings as I think a guy could ever have with Tristan on Saturday, wasn't it?
Haven't seen that since the kids were playing at Blesser and Avon Lake, where you know, it was like only the pitcher and the catcher were involved.
It really was. It was crazy. Hey, Tom, what's the latest on Roberto Perez?
He's got, Mike, a little displaced fracture in the ring finger of his throwing hand, and that came a couple of weeks ago when he got crossed up on a James Karinchak curveball, and it got that ring finger. He's been playing through it. They wanted to give him a couple of days off to just let it settle down. And so, you know, he's not going to go on the injured list. He may even be in the lineup tonight in Kansas City. But, you know, that's the beauty of Austin Hedges, too. Now, they're both struggling offensively, but, man, are they good defensively. And so, you know, I think the beauty of this situation is if Perez needs a couple of days off maybe to settle that down, so be it.
And, Tom, this bullpen has just been terrific. Brian Shaw has just been incredible. And Karinchak, my goodness, his numbers, they're off the charts right now. 25 strikeouts and 11 and two-thirds innings.
Well, you know, kind of like what we just said before, you talk about Little League numbers. He's making really good Major League hitters look like they should have taken up golf. Because this is, you know, two strikeouts an inning. And again, guy's not even coming close to putting a ball in play. Guys, I know it's, you know, whatever it is today, May 3rd, I guess. This is as good a bullpen as the Indians have had in a long time. And I think the encouraging thing is a number of these guys are homegrown and they're young. So you've got a chance to keep this bullpen intact for a number of years.
I know it's early a trend, all that, but I wrote this stat down. I heard somewhere over the weekend, you closed the books on April. There were more strikeouts than the previous April, and we've got, across Major League Baseball, lowest batting averages we've seen in years.
Yeah, Bill, you know, that's the concern. I mean, there were 1,000 more strikeouts than base hits in Major League Baseball in the month of April. And the team batting averages were .232 for Major League Baseball in April. That's 20 points below April of 2019. Now, you know, you can't continue this because people want to see action and put the ball in play. And I don't know what the answer is, but some adjustments need to be made. And, you know, it just can't be a walk, strikeout, and a home run.
Aaron Civale tonight, 8:10 first pitch from Kansas City. Hand me a lab to call with Jim Rosenhaus. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, guys.
We start with our Dollar Bank Tribe Insider presented by Brew Kettle tonight. News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Indians. And, of course, the game also on the iHeart Radio. News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Political analyst Steve Roberts is in. We feel better. Over the weekend, I saw kids on ball fields. It was sunny. I saw people on Facebook posting graduation pictures. We feel better because we're slowly coming out of this. How much credit do you think we're giving our president, Steve?
Well, it's a very good question. You know, we have this new poll out with 64% feeling optimistic. That's the highest level of optimism in 15 years since 2006. And should Biden get some credit? Yes. I think and the public feels he's handled the coronavirus well. The vaccines are getting out. There are fits and starts, but people are getting vaccinated. But should Donald Trump get some of the credit because he pushed American industry to create those vaccines? Absolutely, he should get some of the credit. Should spring get some of the credit? Baseball is back. People now, because of some of the restrictions being lifted, as you say, they can go out and just do normal things. There's just a general sense in America of relief. And a general sense of things starting to return to normal. So presidents always get more credit than they deserve for that sort of thing. But Biden is benefiting from it. But let's remember, it was Trump who created that economic force, that drive that helped create the vaccine.
61% in this poll say, yeah, we're optimistic. Now, with that in mind, I'm hearing politicians, including President Biden, well, the American people feel this and think this about his next round of spending. The question is, you know, how much your political capital do you put on this, Steve?
Yeah, well, you know, optimism has it's not just a feeling, Bill. Optimism is a very valuable political commodity because of the actions that optimism generates. People spend money when they're optimistic. They hire new workers when they're optimistic. They buy new equipment when they're optimistic. And that generates a virtuous cycle of economic activity. And that's why optimism is so important politically. It's not just a feeling. There's a practical benefits. Biden is hoping that that feeling of optimism will help generate public support for his big infrastructure bill. Now, part of the problem here, of course, is that a lot of Republicans, conservative Republicans, falling back on traditional Republican rhetoric that this is big government run amok, this is overreach, this is too much spending, taxes would be raised to pay for this. And that is, you know, classic Republican arguments, and they've been effective in the past. But here's the problem for Republicans. In a state like Ohio, which has a Republican governor, there are still crumbling bridges and roads. In a state like Ohio, construction projects will generate jobs. In a state like Ohio, rural areas need broadband. So even areas run by Republicans can benefit enormously from this infrastructure bill. And that places Republicans in Congress in a real bind, because ideologically they might oppose big government, big spending, higher taxes, but practically the benefits to their own constituents are very tangible. And that's the crunch they find themselves in.
President Biden, his cabinet, Vice President Harris, of course, much of the team out trying to promote the legislation this week. All right, political analyst Steve Roberts. Steve, thanks much.
Okay, pal.
8:57, back in the morning. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We'll start at 5. Agent Derek Meister, the geek at the Geek Squad, will join us on some tech. Also, Scooter Reese. We've got Secretary of State Frank LaRose. A lot of communities with some levies on the ballot tomorrow, too.
Yes, he'll be with us at 7:20 a.m. and give you all the information you need.
Rosie on the Tribe, Jim Jones on the Cavs tomorrow. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Eric.
I bet you thought...
Love his stuff. Birthday today.
I just sit in silence by myself. Turn this house into jail. Dying slow and living.